Yes.
Interesting thing that you asked.
I'm handing this over.
Kenneth Freeman was found dead the day after the May 13, 1985 MOVE bombing. He was found dead on the grounds of a hospital up in the northeast section of Philadelphia. It would appear, contrary to the death certificate that said it was a heart attack, it would appear that there were some unusual circumstances around his death. He was found with a hypodermic needle in his arm. Kenny Freeman never had any history of drug abuse, much less hard drug mainlining. And the other thing that was peculiar, not unusual, his hands were cuffed behind his back. Now, this is something that I found out contemporaneous to when it happened. People called me that day, that would have been 13th, the 14th of 85, said, yo, this is what happens, this is that. And I started to work on it as a story. I was working with the Daily News. This was just after the mind-blowing experience of covering the bombing and burning on Osage Avenue. I called his family, Kenny Freeman's family, and they said, leave it alone, Len, don't touch it. And in deference to the family, I backed up off of it. But this is what I heard, this is what I confirmed then. There's one other thing I think is of extraordinary relevance, what Michael said. He gave you 2 points related to Pedro and his photographs. I think there's a third piece. Pedro said that in 1982, he offered his photographs and testimony to the prosecutor and the police, and nobody got back to him. And then when the thing came to court again in 95, because what Michael was telling you in terms of Pedro's belief about what happened, that only transformed in 2006. In 95, he made the same offer, and nobody got back to him. So you hear a lot about, well, Billy Cook never came to testify for his brother. Well, the prosecution didn't call him either. Prosecuting had him in court around the same time, he could have brought him in if, in fact, he wanted to do a real slam dunk. Right. And then he had a photographer who was prepared to testify to certain things, but they, for some reason, didn't use him. The photographs are extraordinary because they don't show Chobert. So, you know, there's a lot of foolishness about this case.
Can I segue into that?
Yeah.
Remember, you spoke at Temple once with Milton McGriff, and he discussed the coroner who did Ken Freeman's death certificate. And apparently, another astounding thing is this was the same coroner that did later on the Cynthia White Trump-up thing. The coroner was in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I haven't heard his name bounced around enough. What are you?
Yeah. Having? Well, there's so many people that just drop out of this. That particular coroner was fired from Philadelphia for doctoring death certificates. And somehow he gets a job in Camden. And then he's the one who put together this death certificate for Cynthia White that didn't contain any of her vitals that were in the FBI files, including her Social Security number. And you have to understand that Sabo said that because the police brought these records in, and how they came about it was this. The defense was honing in on things in 1997 and 1998. They said, well, we need to bring her in. We can't find her. Prosecutor, since you're dealing with her all the time, whenever she's in court, you come in and say she's a material witness, and she walks out from serious criminal charges. And then the prosecutor's office says, oh, yeah, we were looking for her, and we looked high and low, and for some reason we just looked in Camden, and we found this death certificate. My goodness, we want to help you out. Here's the death certificate. And Sabo says, well, that's good enough for me. If it's good enough for the cops that she did, it's good enough for me. I declare her judicially dead. If you smell something about this case, It is because it stinks. I mean, all facets of it.